the book of Hebrews in the New Testament in these morning services, and we've got to chapter 8. And it's an appropriate reading because it deals with the furnishings of the church, and we've just dedicated a bookcase. But I'll read some of the verses from Hebrews 8 in a minute. But we call this building the house of God, don't we? We all know that his dwelling is not confined to bricks and mortar, but nevertheless we speak of this building as the house of God. Indeed, someone said to me, since I have returned from Crieff, that they had found the presence of God in this building. The writer of the Hebrews in chapter 8 talks about the building which was the temple in Jerusalem. Before it had been built, it was actually a portable church that was carried around in the wilderness before the people of Israel ever got to Jerusalem. And they called it then a tabernacle or a tent. And I've spoken about it before. The real dwelling, of course, of God is not in a tent or a building made of bricks and stone, but in heaven. Also, in the hearts and minds of those who trust him, having accepted Christ. Yet you and I do not yet see into heaven. Maybe one or two of us have had a vision into heaven, but we don't normally see into heaven. And nor do we see into one another's hearts and minds. And so God, by his grace, has told us that we need these visible signs that we can all see with our eyes to remind us that he exists. Speaking of Jesus, the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 8, the first two verses, says this. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have a high priest who has sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, the true temple set up by the Lord, not by man. And then verse 5 tells us that the tabernacle or the temple or the church building on earth is a copy of something much more real in heaven. Verse 5 says, the sanctuary is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. That is why Moses was warned when he was about to build a tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. You can't just build your churches any old how. There has to be something in them that is a copy of a great spiritual reality. Well, as I said to the children, this church building is a sign that material existence is not all that there is. Do you ever feel that just material things are everything? That the air you breathe, the water you drink, the food, the rocks, the earth, the plants, your human body, the moon, the stars, the sun, is that all that there is? Is that the whole show? Is there no God beyond it and in it? Do you know, we human beings naturally slip into the view of thinking that these things around us are all that there is. Why do we naturally and carelessly slip into that view? Because it's all that we see and hear and smell and taste and touch normally in our day-to-day lives. And yet in another sense, the reality of God is obvious. None of these things, the earth, the sun, the stars, our lives, could have come into being by themselves. Who lit the stars? They haven't been burning forever. Who made life, the most complicated thing in the whole universe? It wasn't we who made it. Someone must have made it. Who designed the wonders of the world? And yet in another sense, it's not obvious that God exists because, as I said, we don't actually see into heaven. The Bible says our minds and our hearts have been darkened by the deceitfulness of sin. One another, know the Lord. Worship God. Inside the temple, we need the word of God. Now, the lid of the ark, the lid of the box, was called the mercy seat. And on top of the box were models of angels, as a sign that the presence of God is known through his word, the Ten Commandments, which were in the box. We meet God through his word. Also in the Holy of Holies, not only was the Ark of the Covenant, there was an altar where a sacrifice was made of animals. Now that's a sign to us that we also need to know that there's a way for us to be forgiven when we've done wrong. And we've all done wrong. And the sacrifice was needed because we need to know that being forgiven isn't cheap and easy. It's costly. And that's why they had a sacrifice. And then thirdly, right in the heart of the temple was a basin of water. Even in the Old Testament, not just in Christian churches. That's a sign that each of us in the human race needs cleansing from sin in our hearts. The basin was there to tell the people that there is a way for us to be cleansed. And then fourthly, there was the bread of the presence, it was called. Bread representing the presence of God. And that was a sign that we find the presence of God in ordinary things. The reality of God presses upon us everywhere we look in this world, if we've got minds to think, at least. There are no special magical techniques needed to know God. You don't have to learn some deep secrets that are revealed only to a few to know God. The knowledge of God is for ordinary people living in an ordinary world. You may think that you're not a person of special spiritual intensity or spiritual gifts. Perhaps you wish you were. Perhaps you wish you were the person who saw visions like some do. But Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And then fifthly, there was a lampstand, glory and radiance. This sinful world in which we live is a wonderful world with its divine radiance gone, taken away by the evil of the world. The candle in the temple was a sign that that radiance is going to be restored to this earth one day. That was what the things in the temple symbolized. And that's why God said to Moses, and the writer of the Hebrews repeats it, make sure you put all these things there, just as I've told you. Don't miss anything out, because we need to know these things. If you read verse 13 of chapter 8 of Hebrews, it tells us that all these things in the temple are now obsolete. Because a little while after the writer wrote this letter to the Hebrews, the temple in Jerusalem was knocked down by all the Roman soldiers. They knocked it down and it hasn't been rebuilt to this day. And can't be rebuilt because there's a mosque right in its place in Jerusalem. And the Israeli government are afraid of offending the Muslim nations even more, so they leave the mosque there. And they can't build a temple, you see. And yet, those things that were in the temple continue in a new way in the Christian churches. The church in Ethiopia, actually, the Christian church in Ethiopia, actually keeps a model of the Ark of the Covenant in every one of their churches. If this was an Ethiopian Christian church, we would have a box at the front there, behind a curtain, actually, but it would still be at the front of the church, a model of the Ark of the Covenant. But we don't do that in the Church of Scotland, and they don't do it in other denominations either. But we do have some things. We don't keep a model of the Ark, But we do have something representing the Word of God, which is the Word of God, this book, the Bible. We have that instead of the Ark of the Covenant. And behind the bookcase there, there is a Bible. And here's a Bible in the pulpit. We don't have the kind of basin they had in the temple, but we do have a basin for baptizing babies and adults, which is there at a baptism service. We don't have the bread of the presence as they did in the temple, but we do have the communion bread at communion services, showing us that we meet with God, the presence of God, in the broken body of Jesus. In other words, when Jesus died on that cross, that is where God was showing us what he is like most of all. That's where we see the love of God and the presence of God most clearly, at the cross, represented by the bread of communion. Now, we don't have candles in St. David's like they did in the temple in Jerusalem, but we do have an illuminated cross. Well, it should be. It's broken at the moment, and the reason it's broken is that we can't get to it to repair it. We can't get a ladder high enough. It's rather difficult. I'm sure we will manage one day, but that's the problem. And our session clerk was reminding me when we were talking about it earlier, the real cross of Jesus is accessible to us all, isn't it? And it's through the real cross of Jesus that all of us do have access to God. And that cross, when it's repaired, should be illuminated to remind everybody in this community, whether they come to this church or not, that there is a light for the world. Now, verse 5 again of Hebrews 8. The sanctuary is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. All these things are a copy or a shadow. Do you remember that film that was out recently about C.S. Lewis? It was called Shadowlands. Why was it called Shadowlands? It's because C.S. Lewis used to say that this world is like a shadow of the reality which is in heaven. Another illustration he used is that this world is like a black and white film compared with something which is in color and 3D. We read in the book of Revelation about the New Jerusalem, and we read that it'll be a city without a temple, a city without a church building. That's because there'll be no need for any church buildings then. The presence of God will fill all things. There'll be no need to be reminded, know the Lord, because we shall all know him. From the least of us to the greatest. The temple and the church here on earth are just a pale shadow of the reality in heaven. But the reality mustn't just be in heaven. It must be in our hearts and minds now, so that we find a place in heaven after we die. We read again in Hebrews 8, verses 10 and 11. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws, those laws which were written in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. The law is going to be put in our minds. The Ten Commandments and the Bible will be in our minds. And that's why now we need to know the Bible and learn from it. Billy Graham says it's important that we memorize parts of the Bible. I think he's right. We read in the book of Psalms, I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The altar means that the cross of Jesus must be in our heart. We mustn't just look at the cross at the front of the church, but accept what it means in our lives, confessing our sins. Have you and I done that? The basin. We mustn't just look at the basin and be reminded that there's a way of cleansing. We must ask the Lord to cleanse us from our sin. The communion bread. We mustn't just eat communion, but we must daily feed on the Lord and his word. The light. The light tells us what the New Testament tells us, that God is changing us into his light and glory. Our outward man is wasting away. We get old and we die. But our inward man is being changed from glory to glory. And then they shall all know me. There'll be no need to exhort one another then. We ministers will be out of work, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. That's wonderful, isn't it? God treats us as if we hadn't done anything wrong. How is that possible? Because the Son of God, who took our place, was treated as if he had done the wrong that we did. He was treated as if he had done the wrong which the world did, so that we can be treated as if we had not done the wrong, and as if we were righteous like him. And God makes us righteous like him. That's his final purpose. And then he, having died, God raised him from the dead. And Jesus is the true temple. He is the real place where we meet with God. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Have you and I opened our hearts to the Lord, to his word, to his cross, to his cleansing, to his nourishing, and to his eternal light? Let us now pray. Almighty God, we thank you that in your grace you have given us these signs and symbols that we can see with our eyes, that bear witness to deeper truths which are in heaven, and we pray also may be in our hearts and minds. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.